Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well as the weather heats up and we get into baseball season a little bit more. It's always fun. We've had a lot of different baseball players on here from different. A few years ago, we had on some amateur baseball players, but we've normally had a lot of major league and minor league players. But today, we want to go back and pull an interview that we did with a major league umpire. The umpire is Rob Drake. And when we did this interview back in 2008, Rob was a substitute umpire. That meant that he was in the minors a lot, but he'd come up once in a while in the majors. And since then, Rob's career has really taken off. In 2010, he was named a full-time umpire, and see him a lot. In fact, I was at a game with the Cincinnati Reds not too long ago, and Rob was behind home plate. And Rob Drake is from Indiana, Pennsylvania, and he had his first Major League Baseball game on September 3rd, 1999. But since then, he has been able to do a number of games, and he's moved right up through the ranks. You know, umpires are rated, and they get to do games according to how good they are. And a lot of players think a lot of Rob Drake. In fact, in 2012, he got a chance to do the wild card playoff. He was one of the umpires for the wild card playoff game between the Atlanta Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals. And then he did the American League series 2 weeks later. And in 2014, he was one of the umpires for the National League division series between the Cardinals and the Dodgers. So Rob's a guy that's really moving up. But we had a chance to talk with him in a hotel room. In a hotel room interview that we did in California, and this has been a number of years ago, and Rob's testimony comes shining through. So we thought that you would want to hear the testimony of Rob Drake, Major League umpire. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll have a chance to hear Rob, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today. And today we've got another Major League umpire. We had one just a couple of weeks ago in Ted Barrett. And today our guest is Rob Drake. Rob is what is known as a vacation umpire. He gets a lot of games in the Major Leagues. Let's talk a little bit about Rob. First of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face and glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what your duties are in the Major Leagues.
Well, the full-time staff guys get 4 weeks of vacation, and there's always guys injured and stuff. So when the season starts, there's always guys on vacation, and there's always a guy, somebody that's hurt or something. And so we are used in that role to fill in for those guys.
I know that being a Major League umpire, of course, has to be like a player. It's you get to the top, and sometimes you probably do it being there every day. You have a tendency to take it for granted. But tell me, when you walk out onto the field, can you just tell us a little bit about what the feeling is all about when you're an umpire and you walk out there, particularly when you get the big games?
It definitely does. After a while, you just get used to it, and it's just kind of habit. And I think that's what makes you be able to do the job right, is because you're out there and you're confident and you're comfortable. But there's definitely those times where you're standing out in the middle of the field and it's a big game or something. You look around, you realize, you know, I'm standing in Fenway Park. Or for me, I grew up in Philadelphia, and I grew up going to Phillies games all the time. Me and my buddies used to run circles around the top of the Vet. And there's times now where I'll stand out there and I'll be like, man, this is, you know, even though it's not the same stadium, I'm thinking, I would have never imagined, you know, 30 some years ago that I'd be standing down here on the field.
I know know for players, certain parks have an advantage. Is there any advantage at all for an umpire? Are there parks where you have the better light, so to speak, or are they all pretty much the same?
In the big leagues, the lighting's pretty much the same. Some of the ballparks that everybody thinks are so great, for us, they're not. The Fenways and the Wrigley's and Philadelphia, some of those they're not good for us for ground rules, for fan interference, just the way the field's laid out. It's not. Some of the more simple ones, you know, like the old Philadelphia and the old Pittsburgh and those cookie cutter ones were simple for us because the ground rules were very easy. And when you mix in all this other stuff that the new stadiums have, it really can make it tough on us sometimes, and you see a lot of difficult calls.
As a home plate umpire, I always have a lot of empathy for a home plate umpire because I look out there and I see that, first of all, I don't think a lot of people realize how dangerous it can really be. I've seen foul balls come back there and rocket off your face mask, and I know that sometimes you can even have the same injuries like a concussion that some of the other guys had. Isn't that true?
Well, for years, guys, I think, were having these concussions. They just didn't realize it. And in the past 5 or 10 years, we've had a medical staff now that takes care of everything we do, and we've started to see how many injuries there are, neck injuries, back injuries, concussions. We have concussion tests we have to take and stuff. So there's definitely, now that there's more resources out there, you can definitely get shook up pretty good.
Rob, once every 4 days, or once every 4 games, I guess, you're behind home plate. Is it any relief to be at the other positions when you're the first or second or third?
Sometimes I like working the plate because I know I'm in charge more. On the other bases, I mean, I know I can get in just as much trouble working third as I can working the plate. You know, you get foul poles and fan interference. Sometimes the pressure on the other bases is just the same. Sometimes you get in a routine working the plate where you get comfortable, and so I don't mind it too much.
What was your first year in the majors?
1999.
And I'm certain you remember that first game. Can you tell us a little bit about the first game you had in the majors?
Yeah, it was in Florida, and it was towards the end of the season, and it was San Diego versus the Marlins, and there was probably 1,200 people in the stands, and every player on the field was a AAA guy that I knew, so it was an interesting feeling, that's for sure.
How many years were you in the minor leagues?
Well, I've still been this will be my 16th year total in baseball, and this will be my 10th year working games in the major leagues.
Now, I know that there are times when bonus baby, or whatever they call him these days, gets signed in baseball, and he kind of skips a few levels and gets to the top. But that never, I've never heard where that happens with the umpires. Seems like every umpire, you have to start out and you have to do those low A games, and you got to work your way up. Is that the way that I've got it read?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way. And the main reason is it's not so much getting the plays right as much as it is handling situations and learning how to handle players and what's the best way to get out of situations and the best way to convince somebody of something. Safe and out, ball and strike, you'd be surprised how good you are even at the lower levels with the training you get. It's handling the players and the situations.
Not to pick out any one park, but a few years ago I was in Oneonta, New York, in the New York Penn League, and I couldn't believe the situation there. It was an old park, and I thought to myself, man, this is a long way from the major leagues. I'm sure there are parks that you've ran into or situations that you run into. What kind of conditions do you have as far as locker facilities and that kind of thing when you get down there into the low minors?
Well, I know when I was in A-ball, there was the washing machines were in our locker room. So during the game and then after the game, they'd be in there washing their clothes while we're trying to get dressed and stuff. So it was horrible. Minor leagues, the locker room setups aren't very good.
We talked a little bit with Ted Barrett about the stress off the field. And I know one of the things that I've seen is seems to be alcoholism seems to be a problem among umpires as they come up. And that seems like that's one of the only outlets that an umpire really has.
Well, when you know, you think about it, our games don't start till 7 o'clock. We're off the field by 10. You know, you're done by 11 o'clock. You're wound up, and you don't have a home to go to. You have a hotel to go to. If I could go home and sit in my couch, then maybe it'd be a little different. But you know, the guys, the outlet, to go to is a bar, and that's how I think it ends up like that. Guys just don't want to go back to the hotel and sit there.
There's got to be a lot of camaraderie. I know, of course, as a vacation umpire, you're on different crews all the time, but it seems like the only guys you really know in baseball are really able to spend any time with. Of course, you can't, or I wouldn't think you could hang out with the players or the managers, so you just got to kind of hang out with each other, and that's got to be a little stressful, too.
Yeah, I jump around a lot, so I think last year of the 17 crews, I was with 10 of them, so I get the opportunity to see a lot of them, so that's kind of nice sometimes. You know, if you're on a set crew, you have three guys, you travel with them all year, and it's just the four of you.
How about your family? If you're gone all the time and you have a family, and of course you're never home unless you're living like where we are here in Phoenix and you come in to see the Arizona Diamondbacks, but you never get a chance to see your family, I would think.
No, not very often, especially I don't get vacations, so I'm only home if I get an off day or something on a Sunday or a Monday where I can fly home Sunday night, spend an off day at home on Monday, fly back out Tuesday morning. That's usually my only opportunity, especially being on the West Coast. It's hard to get home from the East Coast.
And how do you handle that stress with your family? I mean, watching your kids grow up in the summertime without you being there, and I know there are other occupations like truck drivers and various airline pilots, things like that, but you particularly, how do you handle that that sort of stress?
It's not very easy. It's very difficult. In fact, I think it's probably harder on my wife than it is on me. I think sometimes I get into the routine and you just kind of plug along and I've done it so long that you just plow through it, whereas she's the one that's home with the kids by herself.
Our guest is Rob Drake. He's a Major League umpire. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Rob Drake, and he is a Major League umpire. He is a vacation umpire, but he's had more games. Yeah, what do you get, about 100, 150 games a year? And so you're out there every night.
Yeah, we work all of them pretty much. So last year I think I had 150-some.
Tell us how you got into umpiring. It would seem as though it would take a special person that would want to be an umpire. How'd you get into being an umpire?
My baseball coach in high school was in charge of the local umpires at the Little League, and so I just did it to make money on the side. And then when I went to college, I was horrible in school and was doing terrible, and umpire school turned out to be an opening for me, and my parents jumped at the fact to give me something to try and do that was better than college.
Where's the umpire school, and how'd you get into umpiring school?
There's two umpire schools. They're both in Florida, and when I was working at the Little League, one of the guys that had been to umpire school told me about it, and that's how I ended up going.
Tell us about the umpiring school. What do they do there? Obviously, you learn balls and strikes and the proper signals, but tell us a little bit about what umpiring school is all about.
It's just 5 weeks in Florida. There's about 100 students, and you go through drills. You work about in the cage a lot with working the plate and pitches and balls and strikes, and then you do a lot of on-the-field stuff, just learning where to go to see the play best, and a lot of arguments, too.
How tough is it to be a Major League umpire and be a Christian?
I think being a Christian in general it's the narrow road. You know, God tells us that it's not going to be easy, and it is difficult. And I don't think that necessarily it's any more difficult being an umpire than it is being a truck driver or being a insurance salesman. I mean, I know some of the guys in my neighborhood are gone just as much as I am, except they're gone all year. So, you know, it's tough. It's the Christian life's tough, period.
It is tough, but also you've got guys that are going to be on you all the time. You've got fans that are going to be on you. Somebody's always trying to push your buttons, and it would seem to me that as a Christian, that's got to be a little tough, being out there knowing that you could be involved in some sort of confrontation every night.
Well, yeah, that's always a concern, and you know, fortunately, a lot of the guys I work with know my stance, and so it kind of puts me on a pedestal to a point where I know that they're looking at how I'm going to react to situations, and so it gives me something to always be concentrating on, and knowing that, you know, what I do is a lot more meaning than what I say.
I know the big question is, too, of course, being a Christian, guys know you're a Christian, they might take advantage of that and think he's going to back down a little easier. You and I know, and I know some baseball players are like that too. Mike Matheny one time said that, and he was one of the toughest guys that I knew in the game, he said that he would love to have somebody come around third base sometime and just flatten him and hope that guy was a Christian. But as a Christian, being out there, do you ever feel like somebody's trying to take advantage of you because they know about your spirituality?
I don't think I've honestly ever felt that way. I think some of the guys we work with think that you're going to be a little softer, and that's why, you know, you just got to show them that you can still do the job and you're still strong in what you believe.
One of the most interesting things I think that you and Ted Barrett have put together is this ministry to umpires called Calling for Christ. Tell us a little bit about Calling for Christ, your umpiring ministry.
Well, about 6 years or 7 years ago, we went to a UPI retreat with some of the there's a local Bible study here that serves some of the players, and Ted and I went up there for one of the nights to see what they were doing up there, and out of that came the desire and the drive to start the ministry we've started. We didn't really know what we were going to get when we started. We thought maybe we'd have four or five guys, including us, and the first year we had 12, and the next year we had 24, and the next year we had 30, and we had 40, and so it's been an amazing ride, and to see the guys and the growth has been just been nice.
These are minor league umpires for the most part. These are guys from, I would say, all the way to the bottom of the top. You get PCL guys, you get guys that are in the top leagues, all the way down to A-ball.
Yeah, we've had everything. We get guys right out of umpire school that are in rookie ball and all the way up to guys in AAA and big leagues. One of the biggest, you know, I love having the young guys there, because I just think that when I got into baseball out of umpire school, if I'd have had this ministry to service me, how much stronger I would have been coming up through the minor leagues, and I might not have fallen into some of the pitfalls that I did.
Why are some of these guys coming? It would seem to be, if you want to be an umpire, you want to show how tough you are. Why are some of these guys coming to your ministry?
Well, I think they've started to see that it's real and that God is there, and they're seeing the lives that are changed. They're seeing guys come back that they worked with maybe a couple years before, and now they're seeing the difference in them, and I think that's what's drawing them there. They're seeing God's love.
Tell me a little bit about your own spiritual life. When did you become a Christian?
I was 6 years old. My dad was a pastor when I was growing up, so I grew up a pastor's kid. But we were traveling around, and he was preaching at a church, and I remember sitting in the back with my mom and listening, and I'd heard it over and over and over. And then finally, when we got home, I told my dad, I want to be saved.
Where was this at?
This was back in Indiana. We were traveling the back roads of Indiana.
In the back road. We're in a lot of Indiana places. Where were we at in the back roads?
Honestly, I was 6 years old, so I couldn't.
You don't know. Has Christ, you know, 6 years old, that's a long time from being 6 years old to what you are now. Have there been times when you have felt as though that Jesus Christ was far from you, or that you've had a tough time in your own Christian maturity?
Absolutely. I think I've recommitted about 100 times since 6 years old. And, you know, it's an ongoing thing of continuing to build that strength.
When you're in a city, and when it's just you and the other guys, and you're trying to develop your own spirituality, I know you got games on Sundays, and so unless you're involved in a baseball chapel or something like that, I know probably it's real tough to be involved in a church. How do you keep and how do you continue your own Christianity?
Well, I think for me, the computer has been a huge help in that regard, because access to so many websites with you know, pastors that archive all their sermons, and so you can turn on a sermon anytime you want. So that's been a huge tool. But with Calling for Christ and the ministry we have, we are in contact with these guys all the time. And so just talking to the guys, the minor league guys that we deal with all the time, just is what keeps me going.
What would you like your legacy to be? I know that a lot of players have something that they would like to be remembered for. As a major league umpire, what would you like your legacy to be off the field? Is there something that you would like to have Christian guys point at you and say, I know Rob Drake because here's what he stands for?
Well, I just think Calling for Christ has kind of turned Ted and I's life around. It's kind of given us a life away from baseball, really. I mean, I know it's centered on umpires, but our focus all throughout the year is on the ministry. And so if down the road when we're gone, if that ministry's still going and someone's leading it that we taught, that'll be the biggest prize.
I talked to Ted a little bit about some of the memories that he's had, some of the funny incidents, some of the games that he could remember. What are some of those in your life? What are some games or what are some memories that when you think back on, if somebody would say, what's your best moment in baseball, what would come to your mind?
Well, there's been so many memories, and it's hard to pinpoint. I would say, you know, this year I had Santana when he struck out 19, and it was like, I know Ted had a perfect game, and I've talked to him about that, and it's, you kind of get on cruise control, and I wasn't even doing anything. I was just standing there, and but the place was going crazy, and he was just, it was unhittable, and it was kind of neat to see that and to be there for that.
I know, too, that there are certain managers and certain players that you run into, and you see these guys, and certain guys that you know you're going to have confrontations with. I won't ask you to name any names, but when you go to a certain place, do you or Ted or any of the other major league umpires, do you have to kind of get yourself ready for certain cities that you go into?
No, I think you know that the personality is there, and you know that there's a chance you might have to deal with that person that night, but you just continue to do the same thing you always do, and then let it go the way it's going to go. But they're going to act the way they're going to act, and we're going to handle it the way we always handle it.
I'll tell you, I'm one of these guys that I have some friends who are baseball umpires like you guys, and then I have some friends who are basketball officials, and I always appreciate what you do. And I think anytime we can find someone that's a Christian in the position you're in, I think it really means a lot. We'd like to wrap it up this way if we could. Our time has pretty well come to an end. And just like to know if you might have a favorite verse or Bible passage or anything that you think about often that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, for me, Luke 9:23 talks about laying down your cross daily. Sometimes in this job, you can get wrapped up in the prestige of, you know, being in the big leagues and people knowing who you are and stuff. But, you know, Christ tells us that what we do isn't important. It's our relationship with Him. And so daily to try and lay down your cross is something I think of.
Well, anytime I see you guys on TV from now on, you and Ted, I'm certainly going to be thinking of you and praying for you. And good luck to you out there and continuing the Christian testimony in Major League Baseball.
Well, thank you, but hopefully you don't see us on TV.
Except when you're at doing balls and strikes.
They only show you when you mess up.
Okay. Rob Drake's been our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Rob Drake, and what a great guy he is. Haven't had a chance to talk to him in a couple of years, but it's always good to know that when there are guys out there, and there are a lot of major league umpires who have a strong Christian faith. You know, a lot of times the reputation of an umpire is something that's kind of a hard-drinking tough guy, but there are a lot of gentlemen who are umpires. They have to be tough on the field, of course, because they've got to go literally face to face with a number of umpires and a number of players, and every once in a while they have to eject a manager or eject a player, and I'll tell you, that's it's not easy. But Rob has been under the influence of one of the top major league umpires and a very strong Christian, and that's Ted Barrett. And Teddy and Rob actually were together in the room on the night that we did the interview with Rob, and what an exciting time that was, and what an exciting time it is for guys like Rob and Ted when they get a chance not only to do a game, but to do an important game like a playoff game or even a World Series. So hope you enjoyed our time with Rob Drake. Well, we want to let you know about some things coming up. The main thing coming up, of course, is our face-to-face golf outing. That'll be on June the 9th, Otter Creek Golf Course. The cost is $125, but you get lunch, you get dinner, you get the cart, the fees, you get balls, tees, you get a shirt, you get all kinds of tee prizes, you get a chance for door prizes, you get a chance to win a hole-in-one. Overall, it's a great tournament. This is our 17th year, and we hope that you'll have a chance to come out and enjoy it. And what you can do to sign up is to go to our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. and we hope that you'll check that out. We also want to let you know that anytime that you hear an interview on Face-to-Face, you can find that interview, at least the most recent ones. You can find those interviews as they're archived in our Face-to-Face website. And again, the website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we hope that you'll check that out, along with some of the other things that we have there for you. And just hope that you'll continue to enjoy what we give to you in Face-to-Face. Well, as we close out today, we want to go to a verse from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12. And it says this in verse 2, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." And we certainly do believe that. And we've been doing Face-to-Face for 25 years, and just want you to know that there are a number of athletes, many athletes, about 450, and as a matter of fact, that have been on this show, and there are many athletes who are out there who have Jesus Christ at the center of their lives, and that's why we're here, and we hope that you enjoy that. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.